I'm just noticing in the statement here from the Runwood Homes Group, I'm noticing that their CEO, a man called Gordon Sanders, is saying that he can't speak to the public for interview because he has a pre-arranged business event. Do you think, Mr. Sanders, when old people have had sores down to their bones and because of your company, do you think when older people have been lying in their own congealed vomit, do you think you might be able to cancel your business event? Maybe that's a question for you when you're looking at your profits at the end of the year. You've got a business event, or you've got an opportunity for your voice to be heard to the people of Northern Ireland, and you're choosing your business event. They do say in their statement, Runwood Homes do say in their statement, that residents and their families can be assured that corrective action has been taken. They say they've put in a new senior management team in place for all their homes, and their homes are regularly inspected. Mervyn Hollywood. Morning, Mervyn.
Good morning, Stephen. I, for many years, since Stephen Nolan come on the radio, have been calling for the removal of the private sector from the responsibility of our health and the welfare of our elderly. This situation with Dunmurry confirms my opinion. The private sector is in this business not for the care, the help and the love of the elderly. They are in it for profit.
Well, you can do both.
What?
You can do both, and there are many good private sector care homes.
No, you don't know that, Stephen. You're saying that because you have to. You don't know that. You would say to me, oh, there's good MLAs up in Stormont, but you don't know that. This is a disaster after disaster after disaster within the private sector. And I would publicly call a political inquiry into the running of the private sector in our wee country. Because personally, believe I've been a victim of it. I have seen nothing but disaster and disaster after when they get involved.
Gavin and Bangor. Morning, Gavin.
Morning, Stephen. I'd just like to say Paul's evidence earlier today tells it all. Basically, we don't need to listen to anybody else to realise what was going on in that place. I would suggest that CCTV in all these homes should be made available to their relatives, number one, so those relatives can access their private room of their mother, father, etc. Those on their own are a particular danger. Nobody visiting them, etc. They could nominate some friend, etc., etc., who could check up on them. Now, the other point I would like to make is that, to me, this is part and parcel of the failing system, where, just as your earlier contributor mentioned there about the idea of profit, I think if Mr. Saunders felt his profit was in danger, he may be on your phone immediately, but obviously he doesn't think so.
Well, this business event he had, that was yesterday when he wasn't available. What business event can't you cancel in order to reassure people in Northern Ireland? We rebid for him today. So we asked that this company that is trying to get your confidence, we asked this company again, would they please verbally speak to the media? In other words, not a statement. Well, no. Their answer is no, they won't.
They eventually will because of some marketing exercise, but it's not coming from their heart, basically.
There is a lot of your public money, your public tax from your wages going into this company.
Yeah.
Now, that's for you to decide whether that should continue.
But they're in that business to run these homes at a certain price, and the government have given them the authority to do that. Now, that leads into the whole system of the cuts within the NHS. Now, these guys are carrying out that work at a certain price, and the people probably working there are very low wages, care workers, etc. We know that for a fact. Maybe inadequate training. The other side of it is people with dementia, maybe continent, fully incontinent, semi-incontinent, semi-continent. And so what you've got is constant care for people. So, I mean, it's a difficult situation for even relatives to look relatives.
We have an update from the RQIA. So the Older Persons Commissioner has expressed grave concern about them today. He has said that despite what the RQIA were saying in their statement, that the Older Commissioner, the Older Persons Commissioner, you know, the inference is that he referred to sexual assault by people with dementia as criminal activity. He said he did not do that. People distraught on the radio this morning asking for the RQIA to be closed down. And in response to all of that, we asked if any of the executive team might put themselves in front of the public today. And they have been in touch with us this morning because we went to them. And they have said they can confirm their statement yesterday afternoon is their latest statement. So the answer to all of you listening in Northern Ireland today, wondering if the RQIA's chief executive, Olive MacLeod, or indeed Dr. Lourdes Gagan, who's the medical director, or Theresa Nixon, who's the director of assurance, whether any of them could be available to you today, they're essentially saying to every one of you, no, they're not. Paula Bradshaw, the Alliance MLA. Morning, Paula.
Morning, Stephen. I would just congratulate Eddie on the investigative report. I've read through it. It's grim reading. I think that while there are recommendations around accountability for going forward, I think that there's really no accountability as to those people who were failing in their duty of care to provide the proper health support for these families. And I can understand why that woman at the top of your show had said that she can't grieve yet, properly for her mother yet because she's still so angry. And I think that
let me just Paula remind people, I'm sure they'll be tuning in, you know, you can hear all of this on the BBC iPlayer, and we'll tweet out links to this in my Twitter feed at Stephen Nolan, but here's just a very short snippet of some of what Karen said today.
Yeah, they were down to the bone. By the beginning of October, they were down to the bone.
What do you mean they were down to the bone?
You could basically see bone. They were then infected with E. coli. And the smell of them, they didn't change the dressings on a regular basis. So the smell from it, they were supposed to turn her regularly to avoid the likes of pressure sores happening. That very rarely happened. She would have went hours without being turned. She was supposed to be kept at a 30-degree tilt at all times. There was a lot of times she would have been lying on her back rather than being in that tilt.
So none of us will have been able to see the pain, the distress that elderly lady was in when the bed sores were down to the bone. But when we find out about it, the CEO of the company responsible for that lady's care was at a business event and therefore can't speak about it. Paula.
Yeah, well, I think that my other concern really is that we're getting these statements from the Department of Health, from RQIA. There has never been a more pressing time for us to have a health minister and a health committee. And I don't mean to make a political point, but the RQIA could not refuse to come before the health committee and give an account of what has happened here. And at the minute, they're being able to hide behind these statements. And another
they gave an interview to the BBC to talk back yesterday.
In terms of coming on today and actually, you know, dealing with the emerging issues that are coming out, my point is that there's really no accountability here. People are responsible for the failings in this. And while we have recommendations for how improvements can happen going forward, there are still people who are responsible for this lack of care for these patients, and that's where I'm very concerned. The other issue, one of the recommendations in the report was around the duty of candour. This is an issue that keeps coming up. It has come up under the neurology stuff with Dr. Watt, and it came up as a recommendation under the hyponatremia inquiry. We need the Assembly up and running to get this legislation through, because next week, it could be another scandal, another crisis hitting the health service.
This all happened when there was an Assembly up and running.
But we didn't have the
report. This all happened when there was a health minister.
But I'm saying we didn't have the report, and we would then have to hold the health minister to account to make sure that she is holding the RQIA to account.
Okay. Paula, thank you.
There's a political vacuum.
Paula, thank you. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen. The Northern Ireland Policing Board are the oversight for policing in Northern Ireland, and they have a custody visitor scheme where lay members are appointed and can go into any police station 24 hours a day, any time, unfettered access to prisoners to make sure prisoners are fed and watered and are in good conditions. And yet we have an RQIA that can only monitor patients in homes 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. And surely that must change. There must be change. If prisoners can get humane treatment, then the elderly should be afforded the same rights, Stephen.
John, thank you. Something has just struck me as what might be a pertinent question. So the managing director of Runwood Care Homes is making it clear, having contacted the BBC yesterday, that he stood down for personal reasons. So he resigned for personal reasons, not because of the publication of the commissioners. Why wasn't he sacked? So if he's making it clear he wasn't sacked, if he's making it clear it was nothing to do with what happened in Northern Ireland, why have Runwood Homes Group, who have accepted that what happened was wrong, who say they're truly sorry for it, why have they not sacked anybody? Dolores Kelly, SDLP MLA, good morning to you.
Good morning,
Stephen. I'm genuinely, you know, as an individual presenting this show, I'm genuinely frightened that this could happen to someone I love.
And I'm sure, Stephen, there are many people across Northern Ireland who have family members in care homes, and they too will be wondering just what is going on. But I would hope that many of your listeners will agree with me that the vast majority of people who work in care homes do actually care about the people in their care and do deliver a good service. But
well, they're certainly not doing it for the money because they're lowly paid.
That's very true, and I've often made the comment, you know, we are paying the people who are charged with looking after the most vulnerable and marginalised in our society and people without a voice the same going rate, the minimum wage, quite often, actually. So a part of the Older Persons Commissioner report said there has to be a way in which we look at the whole culture of commissioning services. You know, what we are prepared to pay as a society for looking after older people. And part of the problem, Stephen, emerged in the late 80s when it became a private business as opposed to something that we did as a society. I used to work in the Health Trust. I actually worked in daycare with older people. And we had several residential and nursing homes. I think they're all gone now, basically all gone. So those standards, and where now people are trying to turn a profit, is, I believe, intrinsically wrong. And it's something we need to have a debate about.
Dolores, thank you. Carl in Antrim. Morning, Carl.
Good morning, Stephen. I just, as I said in my text, Stephen, I had to stop doing everything around the house and at my work this morning to listen to what you are revealing. This is happening more and more as I listen to our country attempting to carry on. There is so much going on. I cannot... There are many politicians who are getting involved in these issues. Yes, I know that, and they're working hard. But I cannot but feel absolute despair that our two main parties are purposely organising a political vacuum when so
obviously
much
they would deny that
needs to be done. And I'm just in absolute despair, Stephen, and I'm not kidding. And this has been building for 6 months, 8 months, a year, and I'm wondering, I'm in my 60s now. I'm scared. I'm scared of my short or longer future here because the top people, the top main people who should be helping us through our lives are purposely creating this vacuum.
Well, obviously, both of those parties would say they would blame each other for there not being
a government. Of course, I follow politics very closely, and I know all of that.
Before I come back to the specific issue about this specific care home, let me just share something that happened to me yesterday. I went up and visited a primary school yesterday where there are some children who need a little bit of extra help, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what has been happening in Northern Ireland is they've got nurture units, and nurture units is where there is an extra adult who takes those children into a room and tries to teach those children some skills and help them because they just need a little bit of extra help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of those nurture units in Northern Ireland, all's not true. A substantial amount of them are under threat and are having to close down because of the cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove away yesterday, and I'm not allowed to make any political comment whatsoever about the rights or wrongs of cuts or anything like it. But I drove away from there yesterday thinking to myself, those little boys and girls, 5, 6, 7 years of age, what chance have they got in life if we're taking help away from them?
Absolutely.
And meanwhile, what we're discussing every day is the political fighting that's going on.
Something has got to move.
But they cannot agree with each other. And so the Nolan Show and every other show, we will talk endlessly in this country, you know, about red lines and, you know, disagreements over whatever it is. See those little boys and girls yesterday? They're getting the help that they had, the threat of it being taken away from them.
And it's amazing, as you have so rightly focused on there, Stephen, it's amazing just how much our poor, exhausted, depressed community is able to do. Last weekend, 2 weekends ago, was it 23 Queen's Awards for voluntary service for the literally hundreds of thousands. I was aghast to hear it. There are hundreds of thousands of voluntary workers, like the people you met in that little school you were at yesterday, who are quietly helping away, putting everything into helping the community. And the people at the top are doing nothing but arguing about the Irish language and all the other things that they are getting involved with. And yes, of course, they will refute what I'm saying, what you're saying. But it is so blatant and so obvious now. And sadly, and this is where there is a problem, sadly, it is us, the voter, the voters who are allowing this to happen. You can't just point your fingers at an empty Stormont and say it's their fault. We put them there.
Carl, thank you. The Ulster Unionist Party's MLA, Robbie Butler with us. Robbie, morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Let me just come back to the story we're talking about. It is elderly people who are vulnerable, who needed our care, and Runwood Care Homes UK did not care for them to an adequate standard. And let me remind everyone in this country what that led to. Here's an example. This is a son talking about what Runwood did to his dad.
He had no care in that home whatsoever. And when the doctor says to me, look, we're going to have to try and put a line in here. He says, but this is going to be painful. He says, because his veins have dropped. There is no vein sitting up here. Well, Stephen, my father was in tears. My father was crying at the excruciating pain that needle was going in to try and find a vein, to try and get a line. And that doctor, I would say that doctor had a tear in his eye when he was doing that.
And the CEO of Runwood was too busy at a business event yesterday to speak to you, and isn't speaking to you today either. Robbie?
Yeah, there's many failures here, Stephen. When you listen to a testimony like that, And as an MLA, I'm embarrassed this morning that this won't be the first point of business on Monday morning in a normal functioning Stormont Assembly. It's a failure of the most vulnerable in our society. And when we look to the future, I saw some statistics this week that by 2028, older people will outnumber children. And that being the case, if this is are the failures that we're storing up in 2018, what hope can we give those that are not just there, but are looking forward, like your last caller, who has said he's in his 60s, and he is fearful of what care is there. But so what are we doing as legislators? And it is with a deep a sense of shame that I'm even speaking to you, Stephen, on this morning.
Robbie, thank you. Teresa. Morning, Teresa.
Morning, Stephen.
Need you to be
my
quick for me, Teresa.
Regarding your story this morning, I come from a nursing background. I feel questions should be asked. If staff employed in Dunmurry Manor care home were qualified to care for patients with dementia, if they were not, it would be entirely unrealistic to think that residents' care needs could be met as we listen to horrendous, inhumane treatment that was provided to human beings.
Teresa, thank you. Ian and Warren Point, 30 seconds, Ian.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, the question I'm trying to ask is, basically, at the minute, if you look after Emily, any family relative, the state only gives you the most is £62.50 a week. But yet they can afford to put your family members in their home to charge £700. It's less than £50 an hour. Why would they not give family members a reasonable sum of money to look after their own family members and they'd be better looked after? You tell me what justifies £700 a week. It's anywhere between £500 and £700.
Ian, thank you very much indeed. Look, we're at the end of the programme today, so I'll leave you with these final thoughts. Some of our most vulnerable, weak, elderly people have suffered in a care home in Northern Ireland. Those people were so weak that they couldn't speak for themselves. The CEO of Runwood was too busy at a business event yesterday. The RQIA, they're just not talking to you today. I want to leave you with this thought. On behalf of all of those people, their veins collapsing, bed sores down to the bone, congealed in vomit, are we sure the police should not be investigating what happened there? Are we sure?